جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. Let's recite Surah Hud and verses 25 until 28 tonight, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه إني لكم نذير مبين ألا تعبدوا إلا الله إني أخاف عليكم عذاب يوم أليم. قال الملأ الذين كفروا من قومه ما نراك إلا بشرا مثلنا وما نراك اتبعك إلا الذين هم أراذلنا بادي الرأي وما نرى لكم علينا من فضل بل نظنكم كاذبين. قال يا قوم أرأيتم إن كنت على بينة من ربي وآتاني رحمة من عنده فعميت عليكم أنلزمكموها وأنتم لها كارهون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. From now on, in this chapter, Surah Hud, we will discuss many stories of many prophets in the Quran. And the reason why Quran mentions the stories of previous apostles and prophets and messengers is to inspire us with these stands and these sacrifices and these confrontations that took place between these leaders on the one hand and their followers and their communities, and how they addressed these situations. What was their reaction? And we need to know these stories. These are sources of inspiration. These are not fictions. Sometimes a fiction inspires you, and not a true story would inspire you. Mothers, usually they tell their children bedtime stories to inspire them, to teach them, to provoke their thoughts. But these stories are real. These stories, they took place for many centuries. This is why the Quran mentions them. And he begins with the story of Shaykhul Anbiya. Shaykh means the leader, the old man, because he was a leader in his patience, in his advocacy of his cause. He was a leader, he was dedicated, and also he was an old man. He lasted for so many years, so many hundreds of years. And he is called also the second father of the humanity, the first father being Adam alayhi salam. Then after Adam we had Idris, and Noah comes after Idris. He succeeds Idris, but he's the very first prophet who brought Sharia, law. And he's part of the five universal messengers, Anbiya'u Ulil Azm. Anbiya'u Ulil Azm are five messengers. They are different from others with two things. Number one, they brought the law. However, these laws are different from each other. They are not exactly similar, neither similar in content, in the content, nor they are similar in the scope. For instance, the Sharia of Nuh is a primitive, while the Sharia of the Prophet ﷺ is much more comprehensive and advanced. And this is mentioned in the Quran. Why? Because humanities at that time, they were not advanced. Tribal, living in few villages, doing very basic things. All what they were worried about is to survive, how to find food. They didn't have UC Irvine and, you know, research centers, and, you know, probably they used 10% of their brains. They had no challenges. They were stuck in a village. All what they were worried about is to find some food to survive the night, not to die of starvation. They were not thinking of a cloning and going to the Jupiter and moon and, you know, going to the stock market and, you know. So their Sharia was compatible to their thinking and to their lifestyle. Sharia came just to teach them who God is and connect them with God, and teaches them some manners, adab, so they can lead a peaceful life among themselves. So the first prophet that brought the Sharia was Nuh. After him, Ibrahim. And the first prophet that had a divine book also, revelation, was Nuh alayhi salam. His book was called what? What is the book of Nuh? The book of Nuh is called Sahifatun Nur. The book of Abraham is called? Ibrahim. Inna hadha lafi al-suhuf al-ula, suhufi Ibrahim. Suhuf Ibrahim. When it comes to Musa, his book, specific, it has. The general one is Sahifa, but the specific one is what? Torah. And the book of Jesus is Injil, or the Bible. And the book of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is what? Inna nazzalna alayka al-Qur'ana tanzila. And then it has another name, Dhikr. Dhikr also one of the names of this book. So those five leaders, they had five books. And the book also entails that they had Sharia too, the law. And also there is one more difference from ordinary prophets, in that they were not regional or local, they were universal. But how was Nuh universal when he was only in one area, geographic area? Universal, it means all the people of that time were in one geographic area. We did not have people in America, North America, neither South America, nor Australia, nor, you know, only in that area. So in that sense, it means universal. But in today's account, it's not universal. But during his time, it was universal because humanity was not spread out everywhere. So this is the difference between Anbiya or Ulil Azm and ordinary Anbiya. Ulil Azm, they have a book, number one, and in that book, they carry the Sharia, the law, and number three, they are universal in their mission. Meaning that their voice reaches everywhere. They are not dedicated to a smaller group of people. They come to all. They reach out to all. So Nuh, where was he born? There are three stories. Three stories. Unfortunately, we don't have one story. It depends on where do you come from, which place you favor. The historians would say, I think he is born here. So some people, they say he was born in India. Some people say he was born in the city of Nahawand in Iran, which is part of Hamadan, Nahawand. Some people say he was born in Biladu Ma Bain al-Nahrain, the two rivers. What are the two rivers? Where are the two rivers? Tigris and Euphrates. So there are three stories. However, as to his death, there is one story, alhamdulillah. Huh? Where is he buried? In Najaf. Yes, Imam Ali is buried on his right Adam, on his left Nuh. And we have been told that Nuh himself, with the commands of God and the information of God, he dug the grave for Imam Ali alayhi salam. Thousands of years before the Imam Ali's death, the grave was ready for Imam Ali. So when you visit Imam Ali and pay tribute to him, وَعَلَى ضَجِعَيْكَ آدَمَ وَنُوحِ, those who are laying next to your body. Adam on the one side and Nuh, and you visit them too. So in Surah Ash-Shura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he distinguishes between a prophet whose sharia was limited and a primitive, and the one whose sharia and law is extensive and comprehensive. Listen to the Quran. See how meticulous is the Quran and delicate. Every word in the Quran has a meaning. Every single word. Allah says in Surah Shura, شَرَعَ لَكُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ. We شَرَعَ, we paved the way for you. We provided you, شَرَعَ لَكُمْ, O mankind, مِنَ الدِّينِ. We gave you law, it is us, شَرَعَ لَكُمْ, مِنَ الدِّينِ. مَا وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ نُوحًا, وَصَّيْنَا. What we have given Nuh, وَمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكِ. See, concentrate on this. When it comes to Nuh, Allah says wassayna. When it comes to Prophet Muhammad, Allah says awhayna. Two different terms. Wassayna, awhayna. They both have sharia. But when it comes to Nuh, because of his sharia is not too sophisticated and complicated, it's primitive, then wassayna, we advised him. But when it comes to Prophet Muhammad, because of his sharia is comprehensive and final, we did wahi to him, we revealed to him, wa awhayna. This is the difference. This is the difference between them. Sharia of Nuh was very basic, very basic. Didn't have much details because the humanity was small. The community of earth was very, very small. They were villagers. There were no discoveries, no science, no technology, no advancement, not even the advancement of science. Whereas during the time of the Prophet, there were empires on the left and right on left, the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire. So the Prophet had to have a book which is compatible with the thinking and the mentalities of those who are around him. And that book is going to last, not just being confined to the time of the prophet. This book is supposed to last. So it's very complex. The book is very complex. This is why it's called revelation. God revealed to him. While Ibrahim, awsayna, we advised him. Something very, you know, like a sandwich, fast food, you know. Just give it to him and he's done. We have dinner, huh, by the way. So the Quran begins by saying, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. Indeed, we have sent Nuh to his own community. He was not a stranger. A messenger, a leader, should not be brought from outside. One of the reasons that Islam is not fast moving in America, because the scholars, they come from outside. They are not homegrown. The day we are able to raise homegrown teachers, scholars, imams, Islam is going to move faster. But if we import them from India and Pakistan and Iraq and Iran and Bangladesh and Afghanistan and Lebanon and Egypt, and they don't speak the language and they know nothing about the mentality of the generation and how America thinks and how America acts and how America works, then Islam is not going to move fast. So Allah says to every community, we send someone who's homegrown, someone from the same community. So he knows the psyche of the people. Not only the knowledge of the book, you have to know the psyche, what to speak and what to speak, when, what, how. Not everything you know you have to speak. Sometimes people reject, they don't accept. Sometimes it does not make sense to them. Not that you are wrong, maybe you are right, but it does not make sense. So you have to know what to say. If you want to be successful, you have to know how to address the people in the right way, right manner. And this has to do with psychology. If you know nothing about people, you come here for the first time, you know nothing. You may address subjects wrongly, in the wrong way. You don't give the right answers. So Allah says, we send the prophets ila qawmihi. He is from that community. He's not a stranger. He can read the minds of the people. He knows about their needs and weaknesses and strength. So he knows how to address them. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. My friends, whenever there is a danger, what do you hear? The first thing you hear a siren. If you are in a mall, if you are in a hospital, if you are in a hotel, if you are in a public place, when there is a danger, the first thing you hear is what? A siren. So you can pay attention. There is something going on, something important, something dangerous. You pay attention to the siren. Anbiya, when they come to their communities and there is sickness, there is retardation, there is delinquency, there is deviation, there is something wrong going on, first of all, they sound their sirens, nadir. Nadir means warner, because something wrong is going on in the community. I have to address that, I have to speak about it. The first step towards islah, reforms, is to wake up and realize that this is wrong. But if you don't think that this is wrong, impossible. It's very impossible to have islah, to change. If a person does not know that he's sick, he would not go to the doctor. And he would not try to seek help from the doctor. He or she should realize first that I'm sick. I need to go to the doctor. I need to go. I need to see a doctor. That's the first step. Nadir. Inni lakum. Nadirun mubin. And I am not ambiguous. I speak very clearly. Nadirun mubin. Very plainly. Very clearly. Anyone can understand what I am saying. When I speak about the sickness, about the deviation, about corruption, I am very plain with people. All people can relate to me. Inni lakum. Because some people, they try to tell you what's wrong, but you don't get it. He's too philosophical. Allah says the Anbiya are not too philosophical. Anbiya are part and parcel of people. They are Bashar, just like you. He eats the same food, he sleeps in the same community, drinks the same drink, walks in the same street. So he's not very special. All about him, the difference between you and him, he received revelation. He's special in his spirit, in his soul, in his character. He has more patience and he's dedicated. So therefore, God chooses him to deliver the message. Inni lakum nadhirun mubin. And then the first request is what? Allah ta'budu illa Allah. Inni akhafu alaykum adhaba yawmin alim. That you might worship none but God. Tawheedullah. The first item on their agenda, the first point is monotheism, is to connect people to God. The reason why societies are falling apart, because they are not connected to the truth. They are connected to wealth. They are connected to power. They are connected to arrogance. But if they are connected to God, God is just. God is good. God is pure. God does not hurt. God intends every goodness for us. But if people are connected to others, then this is why they have problems. If they connect themselves to God, if they listen to God, if they respect God, believe me, we are not going to have war anywhere. People are going to help each other. People are going to support each other, stand with each other. People are not going to fight. Turn to the news tonight, you see a country called Syria. America is involved there, they have troops and they are bombing with their fighters and tanks. Turkey is involved, they are bombing the Kurds and killing them. Russia is involved, these superpowers, and other countries too, other countries. It's one country called Syria. 50 different countries and entities are killing each other in that part. But if those, they work for God, not for their governments, not for their seats, not for their political interests, but for the interest of the humanity, there would be no war. No war. Because Allah is just. Allah has no preference for this race over other race, neither for this gender over other gender, nor for this nationality over others, nor for this geographic area. Allah says, I love only this area, but I hate other areas. He never says that. Allah has love for all, black, white, rich, poor, people in the east, people in the west, people who have nationality, people who are undocumented, they are all the same in the eyes of God. So if we follow God, we're not going to have a problem. Once we follow our own greed, our own desires. When we have wedding here, I always say, after I finish the wedding, I do the nikah, I remind the couples, I tell them, if you want to lead a peaceful and a stable life, I'm not an economist to tell you how to make money, neither an investor nor a banker. But I know one thing for certain, that if you are connected to God, your life is going to be stable. Even if you don't have money. And if you are disconnected from God, your life is not going to be stable or satisfying, even if you have money. This is one thing I know for sure. I have not no doubt about it. I have yaqeen, certainty about this. If we respect God, we are not going to hurt others. Because I see God before I see others. I see him watching over me. I love him. I don't want to hurt him because I know if I hurt my wife, I'm hurting God. If I hurt my son, if I hurt my neighbor, if I hurt my cousin, my partner in the work, in the office, I'm hurting God. This is called, simply called, piety. Piety is the love and reverence for God. If we have piety in our life, we are not going to have a problem. إني لكم منه نذير مبين ألا تعبدوا إلا الله إني أخاف عليكم عذاب يوم أليم فقال الملأ الذين كفروا. Listen to the reaction. First, it was the reaction of the notable. ملأ means the notable, the influential in the community. فقال الملأ الذين كفروا من قومه. Those who disbelieved among his community. Listen to their argument, and this is the argument of people of the truth versus people of falsehood. Nuh is inviting them to accept God. Listen to their answers, to their rebuttal. Listen to it. They said to him, فَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ. Number one, we have many problems with you, Nuh. Number one problem, مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلَنَا. You are nothing but a human being like us. So why God chose you and didn't choose me? If God wants to send someone important, he should send an angel, not a human being. Why? Because they don't have self-confidence. Because in themselves, they don't think that they're going to be good. They were so bad that they lost hope in themselves, that they would never going to be good, and therefore God is not going to choose a human being. And this is utterly wrong. God chooses a human being because he relates to you. If God sends an angel to us, the angel is going to have a problem. You know why? The angel is going to tell me, don't do this and don't do that. And he doesn't know about my desires. The angel does not eat, does not sleep, does not drink, does not get married, does not have a business, does not need money. So he's not going to be able to preach to me. He's not going to be able to relate to me or understand my weaknesses and my problems. Is going to be too idealistic for me. I need someone who relates to me, who lives in my neighborhood, and he witnesses my challenges firsthand, then he can give me an answer. When I came to this country, people used to come for divorce. And even now, they come for divorce. But the difference in my advice, I matured during these 25 years. First, when they come for, no, don't divorce, this is criminal, this is bad, this is I don't relate to them. Why? Because I don't understand their problem. I don't know them. I don't know what's going on. They're having a life of hell. They have a fight every single day. They come to me and I know nothing. I give them the wrong answer. Then I realized, but no, this is not the answer. You have to be realistic. Yes, you have to be good. Definitely you have to be good. But also you are a human being. Sometimes they reach a point where they cannot live anymore. You can't glue them together. You can't. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. The Prophet tried to do this experiment during his lifetime. He raised a boy by the name of Zayd. He loved him so much, so he asked his cousin, his first cousin Zaynab, to marry him because he loved him. And he puts them together. It didn't work. Zaynab said, I can't. Believe me, I can't. If he touches me, I can't. Please, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet was offended. He didn't like this. But God said to him, that's it. You did your best. They can't get together. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. So you have to be part of the community, the people, to know. You don't give answers which are too idealistic, too utopian. A good preacher is the preacher who lives through the pains and the sufferings and the feelings and the sentiments of the people. Therefore, they said to him, مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا. We need someone who's an angel, not Bashar, which is wrong. He has to be Bashar. He has to be like you to give you the right answer. The second i'tiraf, an objection, was, وَمَا نَرَاكَ اتَّبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَاذِلُنَا بَادِيَ الرَّيْنِ. And Nuh, listen, all what we see around you are the lowliest of the community, the lowest people in the community. Those who are poor, those who don't have food, they are following you. So we are not going to listen to you. Because you attracted, you did not attract the rich, you are attracting the poor. This is another fallacy. Who says the rich is always right and the poor is always wrong? Who says? This is also, we are judging people. And this is wrong. We know many philosophers, many scholars, many prophets, they lived and they led, they chose for themselves to lead a life of asceticism, self-denial. Self-denial. There was food, but they didn't eat that much. Their food was very limited. Their drink was very limited. Their residence was very limited. They chose that. Because this is part of self-building. They don't give in to these desires. Once you give in to all these desires, everything your nafs says, take it, you run after it, you cannot control yourself. And the most dangerous human is the one who cannot control his or her desires. So they impose this on them. Imam Ali says, I have access to the treasury. The money comes to me first. But I would not take it. I would not take it. I impose on myself these restrictions. Not because God does not want me. God says to him, take. But he reached the state that he was not allured and attracted by the dunya. That is the highest state. When a human being has the dunya at his disposal, but he is not attracted to it. He says, enough. This is enough for me. We have to teach our children this. When you take food, when you see the food, take and say, enough. This is enough. I can sustain myself. I love those children when their parents wants to give them money. He says, this is enough, daddy. I don't need more. This means that he's mature. But children and men and women who says more and more and more, they are putting themselves in big trouble in this life. We have to impose it. We have to say, no, this is not good for me. I don't want to do this. So that was their second. And then, وَمَا نَرَى عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَا نَرَى لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ فَضْلٍ. Nor do we see that you have any merit over us. وَمَا نَرَى. And this is, means they were arrogant. Arrogant are those who see themselves better than others. Better than others. The hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam says, if you want to nurture yourself, self-tarbiyah, self-discipline, when you leave your house in the morning and you look at people left and right, every person you see before you say, he might be better than me because I know what I did. I know what I did. I know my crimes. I know my faults. I know my sins. Maybe this person is better than me. Every person you see. Inside you say, he's better than me. This is how you nurture yourself. This is how you keep yourself strong and healthy and closer to God and closer to that humanity. And this is how you lead a safer life. People are safe with you. وَمَا نَرَى لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ فَضْلٍ بَلْ نَظُنُّكُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. Nuh, you and your community are nothing but liars. What was his answer? And I conclude here. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِن كُنْتُ عَلَى بَيِّنَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّي. I am on a clear path. I know I am not doing something wrong. I have self-confidence in this path. بَيِّنَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّي. And God graced me by sending me to you. وآتاني رحمة من عنده فعميت عليكم أنلزمكمها وأنتم لها كارهون. Do we? Shall we force this religion upon you? Upon you, though you are unwilling, I'm not going to force you. I'm going to speak to your minds. If you accept this, welcome. أهلاً وسهلاً. If you reject, it's up to you. That is the policy of God. The policy of God, this book and this religion is not forced upon people. Because when you force it, it loses its value. I always say, do not force hijab on your daughter or your wife. If you force it, she's doing something meritless, valueless. She has to love it. She has to believe in it. She has to choose it, not her husband. Yes, the husband is a tool for guidance, for education, for support, ma'nawi, spiritual support. But she should not do that because of him. She should do that because of her and her God. Same thing when you pray. Same thing when you come to the mosque. Same thing when you do any good act. You should have conviction, inner conviction. If it is imposed on you, it has no value. And it is fruitless. Not only fruitless, the results are even worse. Not only you getting no goodness, you may get some evil results, some bad results too. We give condolences to Awai Asai. Awai Dr. Ismail, may Allah bless him, the oldest brother of the family, and Had Jafar, and Hamida Khanum and her sisters. And Del, I saw Del coming. He's somewhere. Is he here? Yes, Del, we are proud of you. And the whole family, and also to the Mir Rafati family, to Wahid and Saeed and Khanum Yasai, Nahid and Nabid, and to Hajawaya Azizim and Hajawaya Mir Rafati. May Allah bless him for the departure of these two mothers who raised good children, good family. They sustained their family. Some mothers, they cook good food. Some mothers, beside cooking good food, they present good examples too. I always say, a food, you can get it anywhere. Delicious food, any restaurant. But good examples, you cannot get it anywhere. If you don't get it from your own parents, then it would be very hard to find it elsewhere. Therefore, your children are amana, trust with you. You, the fathers and the mothers. Put your energy, spend your time to raise good children. This is the best type of investment in the world, when you have the best son or the best daughter. If you want a lasting legacy that continues even after our death, when we are buried, then raise good children. Raise good son, good daughter. Those who are good citizens in their communities. Those who help others. Those who sacrifice for others. Those who have ideals and values and principles. They don't compromise their principles. You're going to tap into this wealth, which is called good son, good children, good daughter. Don't get tired of raising your children. Don't get tired. Don't say, I have no time for this and that, and I'm busy with my kids. That is the best type of being busy, believe me. What else do you want to do? What else? How many times you want to go shopping? How many times you want to go to the movie theater? How many times you want to go to friend's house? And so what? You went to friend's house. So what? Don't leave your children. I get hurt when I see a mother putting her work before her family, putting her job before her children. This is not wise. Sometimes emergency, she needs, she's a divorcee, she has no, her husband is not working, she must work. This is emergency, this is not the norm, this is exception. But don't put your career before your family. And I say the same to the father. Don't put your career. Cut the hours of your work to spend some time with your children. Because they are a trust, amana. Trust. And we're going to be asked about them. Either don't do children, don't. Or when you decide to have a child, prepare yourself for a big responsibility. So you stand before your Lord on the day of judgment proud. You tell him, I did not fail in my mission. I did everything I could to protect them, to make them strong, to make them leaders, to make them your servants. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat innaka mujibud da'awat innaka ghafirul khati'at innaka mahi as-sayyi'at wa ja'ilaha hasanat innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir baraye shadiye روح حاج خانم یاسایی و حاج خانم رفعتی و ارواح المؤمنین و المؤمنات الفاتحه مع الصلاه على محمد و آل محمد صلی الله